from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo welcomes Japan Foreign Affairs Minister Taro Kono. Foreign Election Committee of Kuala Lumpur socializes 2019 election intensively. Indonesian Ministry of Industry UNDP encourage people to reduce plastic waste. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo welcomed Japan Foreign Affairs Minister Taro Kono in Merdeka Presidential Palace, Jakarta on Monday, June 25. In his welcome speech, Joko Widodo expressed his appreciation to Taro Kono for Japan's support toward Indonesian candidacy as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council for the period of 2019-2020. As reported earlier, Indonesia representing Asia-Pacific regions gained 144 votes from 190 countries. The president was accompanied by Presidential Special Staff for Japan, Rahmat Gobel, Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, and State Secretary Minister Pratikno. Taro Kono was scheduled to make official visit to Jakarta on June 24 to 26, 2018, to commemorate the 60 years of Indonesia-Japan diplomatic relationship, which started since the Treaty of Peace ratification on January 20, 1958. The visit would be the first for Taro Kono since his inauguration as Japan Foreign Affairs Minister in August 2017. Other than meeting with Minister Retno and President Joko Widodo, Taro Kono was set to meet Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan and ASEAN Secretary General Lim Jok Hoi in Jakarta. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi received a visit of Japanese Foreign Minister Taro Kono at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Jakarta on Monday, June 25. The first visit of Foreign Minister Taro Kono to Indonesia was to conduct the 6th Indonesian-Japan Strategic Dialogue in coinciding with the 60th anniversary of Indonesia-Japan diplomatic relations. According to a press release from Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs received by Voice of Indonesia, the meeting was aimed at enhancing bilateral cooperation, among others, in the field of politics and security, economy, people-to-people relations, and exploration of opportunities for strategic cooperation between the two countries. In addition to bilateral issues, the two foreign ministers also discussed regional and global issues. They agreed to explore the possibility of making Indonesia a production base for Japanese manufacturing products aimed at the third markets, including markets in ASEAN countries. Earlier, President Joko Widodo received the Japanese foreign minister at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta. In the meeting, the president hoped the visit will further enhance cooperation between the two countries. Indonesian Foreign Election Committee, PPLN, in Kuala Lumpur intensively conducting socialization to guarantee Indonesian citizens in Malaysia participate in 2019 election. According to the committee chairman of PPLN Kuala Lumpur, Agung Cahya Sumirat, in Kuala Lumpur on Sunday, June 24, the committee and Indonesian Embassy Kuala Lumpur have synergized to record as many Indonesian citizens as possible to vote in 2019 election. The committee does not want Indonesian citizens in Malaysia cannot use their political rights to vote on April 17, 2019. Therefore, the Indonesian Embassy and the committee has made various efforts to achieve the targets. We are already intensively socializing. We have visited hundreds of refineries that became a concentration of Indonesian citizens. The ambassador has also wrote letters to some refineries and asking for support in order to encourage Indonesians to use their votes. Agung Cahya Sumirat reminded citizens in Malaysia whose name has not been listed yet in temporary voters list to immediately report to the committee, which is located in Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur. Currently, the committee has recorded 274,026 prospective voters from six regions in Malaysia, namely Kuala Lumpur, Putrajaya, Perak, Terengganu, Kelantan, and Selangor. Industry Ministry and the United Nations Development Programme UNDP encourage all parties in Indonesia to do actions to reduce plastic pollution. About 13 million tons plastic waste going to the sea affected environment worldwide every year, UNDP estimated. Indonesian Industry Ministry Research and Development Agency head Ngakan Timur said in a press release received by Antara News Agency on Sunday that the government, private sector, and community should share responsibility to handle the plastic waste. The effort to reduce plastic waste can be carried out in three ways, including minimizing the use of disposable plastic products, using alternative materials that more easily decompose, and recycling plastic waste into goods which have economic value. Ngakan Timur said that using biodegradable plastic can be one of the solutions to reduce plastic waste. Not only biodegradable plastic technology that promises changes in plastic consumption pattern in the society, but also edible coating, which began to grow in use. Ngakan Timur believes that in the future, more technology will be emerged to help solve plastic problems, but putting plastic into the circular economy is considered as the fastest solution today. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bank Indonesia BI Governor Perry Warjio has said the central bank was introduced loan-to-value LTV relaxation and other policies to help boost the property business during BI's Board of Governors meeting on Wednesday and Thursday. Perry has not elaborated on the financing policy for the property sector, but has said the policy aims to help millennials purchase homes and to lure investors. He stressed that two types of buyers could help boost the property business. He said recently in Jakarta that BI's data shows that the potential buyers of both apartments and houses are those aged between 36 and 45 years old. BI policy encouraged first-time buyers has also noted that BI will discuss them in the Board of Governors meeting. In 2016, the Central Bank issued Bank Indonesia Regulation Number 18/16/PBI/2016 on LTR for property financing and down payments for vehicle financing. Under the regulation, a down payment at general banks had been set at 15% for the first-time buyers. Meanwhile, for second-time buyers, a down payment had been set at 20 and 25% depending on home size. Transaction value of Indonesian coffee in the world of coffee, Amsterdam, Netherlands, on June 21 to 23 was 80 billion rupiah. For the Secretary of Economic Function, the Indonesian Embassy in Den Haag, Nur Evi Rahmawati said that the value was derived from the number of business agreements of Indonesian exporters with companies from various countries such as the Netherlands, Germany, Britain, and the United States, Switzerland, Belarus, and some companies from South America such as Brazil and Chile. Nur Evi Rahmawati told Antara News on Sunday, 24 of June, there were demanded various types of coffee, such as Robusta Lampung, Arabica Gayo, and Toraja. Indonesia's participation in the World of Coffee 2018 is the result of synergy of the Indonesian Embassy in Den Haag, the Indonesian Embassy in Brussels, and permanent representatives of the Republic of Indonesia, Geneva, supported by the participation of Indonesian coffee associations, companies, and exporters. The collaboration is expected to increase the value of Indonesia's coffee export to Europe and the world. The last item. Indonesian Embassy in Pretoria, in cooperation with Indonesian Trade Promotion Center Ministry of Trade in Johannesburg, is participating in the Africa's Big Seven exhibition, which is held on June 24 to 26, 2018, at Gallagher Estate, Midran, Johannesburg, South Africa. Report from Indonesian Embassy Pretoria, escorted by Antara on Sunday, said that the sample of Indonesian products from 14 companies fill in 10 Indonesian stands. In his opening speech, Indonesian Ambassador to South Africa, Salman Al-Farisi, said that currently, economic relations of Indonesia and South Africa still not show their available potential yet in both countries. Both South Africa or Indonesia is an important country in their respective region. Ambassador Al-Farisi further said that Indonesian big, middle, and small businessmen must utilize the Indonesian Embassy and Indonesian Trade Promotion Center to encourage the country's export abroad. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo welcomes Japan Foreign Affairs Minister Taro Kono. Foreign Election Committee of Kuala Lumpur socializes 2019 election intensively. Indonesian Ministry of Industry, UNDP, encourage people to reduce plastic waste. That was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Artwork, Inspiration to Unify the Nation. Make the artwork as a source of inspiration to unify the nation and unify the existing tribes of this nation and make the art as a source of energy of civilization of the nation. This is the message expressed by President Joko Widodo while closing a public lecture at the Campus Institute of Arts Indonesia Denpasar Bali on Saturday. In particular, he delivered the message in his public lecture entitled The Advancement of Indonesian Art in Maintaining Indonesian Diversity and Unity. The explanation of the art was indeed presented in the plenum of the 40th Bali Art Festival, being held for 1 month by displaying various art, including the artwork from abroad. But a deeper message is meant that Indonesian people continue to explore, maintain, and develop the art. Indonesian nation with 714 different tribes certainly has a lot of art. According to 2015 data from the Minister of Education and Culture of Indonesia, there are more than 5,700 types of art. Unfortunately, throughout Indonesia, there are at least 58 kinds of dance art and 33 kinds of musical, which are threatened to be almost extinct. The loss of Indonesian art will certainly reduce the character of Indonesia, because in every region in Indonesia, the art becomes one of the characteristics and it is unique for each region. In fact, this diversity is one of the advantages of Indonesian nation, which is not owned by other nations. This diversity and characteristic are also possibly developed to become attractive performance. Besides having cultural values, art also has creative economic values. The efforts to promote Indonesian art are not only the responsibility of the government, but also the task of artists, students, lecturers of art schools. All related stakeholders are certainly expected to produce artwork by exploring wealth and strengthening local wisdom. It is expected that more opportunities and facility will be given to art groups to showcase their artwork. It's necessary for many parties to cooperate and to further promote the art of Indonesia. There are some Indonesian artworks which had been registered at the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO. So the sense of belonging is possessed by not only the tribe but also by all Indonesian people. The artwork becomes the identity of Indonesian nation. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be joined in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, it started for an event on June 25, 1938, the first Congress of Indonesian Language was held. Indonesian Language Congress is five-year routine meeting which is held by the government and Indonesian cultural and literature practitioners to discuss Indonesian language and its development. It was held for the first time in Solo on June 15, 1938. Earlier, it was held to commemorate a Day of Huge Pledge in 1928. Thus, the event is not only to commemorate the Huge Pledge, but also to discuss Indonesian language and literature overall. The next event is that in 1950, Korean War at Korean Peninsula between North and South began. North Korean, which is communist, crossed the 38th parallel line which divides North Korea and South Korea. Then ship, which accommodated North Korean soldier, entered Busan port in South Korea. Violation and occupation of North Korean soldier finally signed the War of the Korean Peninsula. Meanwhile, former President of the United States, Harry Truman, asked to be held emergency session of the UN Security Council related to the attack and political situation at Venezuela. The United States of America and Western countries took the advantage from the absence of the Soviet Union at the Korean War. Therefore, Western parties sent their troops, led under General Douglas MacArthur, to support South Korea. Although it did not receive support from Soviet Union, finally, North Korea received official support from China. Korean War was a ideological war between North Korea, which is communist regime, and South Korea, which is pro-West. Ceasefire was signed 3 years later to stop the war. The last event is that in 2009, Michael Jackson died. Michael Joseph Jackson, who was born on August 29, 1958, died on June 25, 2009. He is an American singer, songwriter, and dancer. Dubbed the King of Pop, he was one of the most popular entertainers in the world and was the best-selling music artist during the year of his death. Jackson's contribution to music, dance, and fashion, along with his publicized personal life, make him a global figure in popular culture for over four decades. Thriller is the best-selling album of all time, with estimated sales of over 104 million copies worldwide. He is one of the few artists to have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice, and songwriters of Hall of Fame and Dance Hall of Fame as the only dancer from pop and rock music. His other achievements include multiple Guinness World Records, including the most successful entertainer of all time, 13 Grammy Awards, the Grammy Legend Award, the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award, 24 American Music Awards, more than any other artist, including the artists of the century, 13 number one singles in the United States during his solo career, more than any other male artist in a Hot 100 era, and estimated sales of over 350 million records worldwide. Jackson won hundreds of awards, making him the most awarded recording artist in the history of popular music. He became the first artist in history to have a top 10 single in the Billboard Hot 100 in five different decades, when Love Never Felt So Good reached number 9 in 2014. Jackson is also remembered for his philanthropy and final reports in charitable fundraisings in the entertainment industry. He traveled the world attending events honoring his humanitarianism. In 2000, the Guinness World Records recognized him for supporting 39 charities, more than any other entertainers. Well, listeners, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia. Today is on President revises taxes on micro, small, and medium enterprise taxes by 0.5%. Indonesian President Joko Widodo launched Government Regulation Number 23 of 2018 on income tax from business obtained by taxpayers who have certain gross distribution in East Java Expo, Surabaya, East Java Province, Friday, June 22, 2018. About 2,000 small medium enterprise player in East Java attended the launch of the new provision. The main point of the rules is the reduction of the final income tax rate of micro, small, and medium enterprises from 1% to 0.5%. Director of Counseling Services and Public Relations, Directorate General of Taxes Ministry of Finance, Hestu Yoga Saksama, in his written statement Friday, said that the government regulation launched by the President is the substitute for Government Regulations Number 46 of 2013 and effective from 1 July 2018. Hestu Yoga explained the Government Regulation Number 23/2018 is regulating the final income tax for taxpayer whose gross turnover is up to 4.8 billion rupiahs in 1 year. The regulation also stipulates the term of the final income tax for an individual is 7 years, for a cooperative, a partnership,
or a firm, 4 years, and for a limited liability company, 3 years. The objective of PP 23/2018 is to encourage UMKM to increasingly play an active role in formal economic activities with easy of payments of taxes and better tariffs. Directorate General of Taxation also hopes through a lighter tax burden, the micro, small and medium enterprises can expand their business and make investments. Meanwhile, Member of Commissions 11 of the House of Representatives, Ms. Bahun, said the government's policy of cutting the final income tax on micro, small and medium enterprises shows the attention of President Joko Widodo to small entrepreneurs through tax relief. He considers that the president is seriously concerned about that. Ms. Bahun believes the reduction of the tax rate from 1% to 0.5% will make micro, small and medium enterprises business cash flow more secure and can develop more optimally. He also hoped that the micro, small and medium enterprises to be more proactive as taxpayers and become more responsible in carrying out tax obligation. According to Ms. Bahun, as taxpayers, small and medium enterprises have many advantages and convenience, so they should not avoid paying the tax. That was my Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo welcomed Japan Foreign Affairs Minister Taro Kono in Merdeka Presidential Palace, Jakarta on Monday, June 25th. In his welcome speech, Joko Widodo expressed his appreciation to Taro Kono for Japan's support toward Indonesian candidacy as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council for the period of 2019-2020. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi received a visit of Japanese Foreign Minister Taro Kono at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Jakarta on Monday, June 25th. The first visit of Foreign Minister Taro Kono to Indonesia was to conduct the 6th Indonesian-Japan Strategic Dialogue in coinciding with the 60th anniversary of Indonesia-Japan diplomatic relations. Indonesian Foreign Election Committee, PPLN, in Kuala Lumpur, intensively conducting socialization to guarantee Indonesian citizens in Malaysia participate in 2019 election. Industry Ministry and the United Nations Development Program, UNDP, encourage all parties in Indonesia to do actions to reduce plastic pollution. Bank Indonesia Governor Perry Warjio has said the central bank will introduce loan-to-value LTV relaxation and other policies to help boost the property business during BI's Board of Governors meeting on Wednesday and Thursday. Transaction value of Indonesian coffee in the world of coffee Amsterdam, Netherlands on June 21 to 23 was 80 billion rupiah. First Secretary of Economic Function, the Indonesian Embassy in Den Haag, Nur Evi Rahmawati, said that the value was derived from a number of business agreements of Indonesian exporters with companies from various countries such as the Netherlands, Germany, Britain, the United States, Switzerland, Belarus, and some companies from South America such as Brazil and Chile. Indonesian Embassy in Pretoria, in cooperation with Indonesian Trade Promotion Center, Ministry of Trade in Johannesburg, is participating in the Africa's Big Seven exhibition, which is held on June 24 to 26, 2018, at Gallagher Estate, Midrand, Johannesburg, South Africa. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's season, we will introduce you to Susuk Reservoir in East Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. East Nusa Tenggara province is one of provinces in Indonesia which has many natural tourism objects such as Komodo Island, Lake Kelimutu and many others. Besides tourism objects which are well known nationally and internationally, the province also has beautiful natural tourism objects, namely Susuk Reservoir. The tourism object is located at Dua Laos Village, Kakuluk Mesak District, Belu Regency, East Nusa Tenggara Province. Listeners, in local language, Susuk Reservoir means mosquitoes reservoir. According to the legend, in the past, there were seven angels who stopped to clean themselves at the reservoir. Those angels were delegations of King Li Fao from Oekuse. King Li Fao intentionally sent mosquitoes to bother them when sleeping. So those angels still walk and were not closed by servants of the king. Based on the legend, local people call the reservoir as Susuk Reservoir. Actually, this tourism object is surrounded by shady mangrove forest. That's why a lot of mosquitoes surround the reservoir. Listeners, Susuk Reservoir is formed naturally, has white land, so it is exposed to the sunlight and its water reflects white glow like milk. The location of Susuk Reservoir is around 17 kilometers to the north of Atambua, the capital city of Belu Regency. From Atambua, the reservoir can be accessed around 20 minutes by car. Its road is twisting through valley and cliff, but it has been paved. This tourism object is usually visited on the weekends or holidays. The facilities at Susuk Reservoir is quite complete, such as clean water, toilet, lodging, and security posts. There are also stores of local people that provide foods and beverages. Until now, the local government still continues to develop Susuk Reservoir as tourism object and as breeding center of shrimp and milk fields, so the reservoir can be maintained well. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Dia Adikku, or in English, He is my younger brother. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about Dia Adikku, or in English, He is my brother. Location at Joko's family room. Tony is looking at wedding album of Joko and Dinda. There is a family picture in the album.
Dinda, foto keluarga siapa ini?
Itu foto keluargaku. Itu ayah dan ibuku.
Oh, begitu. Lalu yang berkumis itu kakakmu?
Bukan, dia adikku, kakakku yang di samping kiri ibuku.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today, dia adikku, or he is my younger brother. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Foto keluarga siapa ini? Foto keluarga siapa ini? In English, whose family photo is this? Itu foto keluargaku. Itu foto keluargaku. In English, this is my family's photo. Itu ayah dan ibuku. Itu ayah dan ibuku. In English, these are my father and my mother. Kumis. Kumis. In English, mustache. Apakah pria yang berkumis itu kakakmu? Apakah pria yang berkumis itu kakakmu? In English, is the man with the mustache your elder brother? Dia adikku. Dia adikku. In English, he is my younger brother. Kakakku yang di samping kiri ibuku. Kakakku yang di samping kiri ibuku. In English, my elder brother is on the left side of my mother. Listener will listen the expression dia adikku. Dia adikku. In English, he is my brother in a dialogue. In Indonesian language, elder sister or brother is called kakak and younger sister or brother called adik. If you want to add information, you can say dia kakak perempuan saya. Dia kakak perempuan saya. In English, she is my elder sister. If you tell about your family to other persons, you can say kakak saya yang perempuan akan menikah. Kakak saya yang perempuan akan menikah. In English, my elder sister will get married. The phrase my elder sister shows that you have more than one sister, or you have elder sister and brother. In the dialogue, there is also the word berkumis. Berkumis, in English, mustache. The word mustache is a derivative of the word mustache added with the prefix ber. The prefix ber in the word berkumis means punya. So, berkumis means punya kumis. In English, with was touched. Other example, berambut hitam. Berambut hitam, in English, dark hair. Bermata coklat. Bermata coklat, in English, brown eyed. Berhidung mancung. Berhidung mancung, in English, sharp nosed. Berjenggot. Berjenggot, in English, bearded. Well, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Dinda, foto keluarga siapa ini?
Itu foto keluargaku, itu ayah dan ibuku.
Oh, begitu. Lalu yang berkumis itu kakakmu?
Bukan, dia adikku, kakakku yang di samping kiri ibuku.
As an exercise, please send us your voice recording in Indonesian language to our email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be interesting prizes for the selected senders. Please describe a tourist spot in your country by mentioning the country's name, the name of the tourism object, the location and the weather in that place. Please convey more information if any. For example, alamat rumah saya adalah Jalan Jambu nomor 4. Warna rumah saya putih dengan pagar berwarna hitam. Rumah saya mempunyai 2 lantai. Di depan rumah saya ada pohon mangga. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa. Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular segment of Music Corner. Today, we'll present to you some beautiful Kroncong songs by talented women singer Dewi Yul. Well, listener, to initiate the music corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Kini Baru Kau Rasa. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
was the song Kini Baru Kau Rasa by Dewi Yul. The song, which was composed by Aminifos with Pop Gentry, popularized by Dewi Yul in 1993. The song was later sung back by Dewi Yul in Kroncong music genre and became one of the songs in Pop Kroncong's album, which was released in 2010. The song tells about regret for ignoring the sacred love of the lover. For the next song, we'll dedicate to you a song entitled Jembatan Merah by Dewi Yul. Enjoy the song. Song, Jembatan Merah is an original Kroncong song composed by Gesang, an Indonesian maestro of Kroncong. This song tells about a bridge that holds beautiful memories, the bridge that reminds parting with beloved one. Dewi Yul, who has full name of Raden Ayu Dewi Pujastuti, started her career in the entertainment world, especially in singing, in 1977. Dewi won the first place of singing contest in West Java. In the same year, she won the first position of the national level singing contest under Hatikus Endang, Melky Guslow, and Diana Nasution. Besides as a singer, The Wii U, also known as a movie player and TV serial film. In singing, The Wii U often perform a duet with Bruri Marantika. Well, listener, we'll end the segment of Music Corner for today with the two songs entitled December Kelabu and Angin Malam by The Wii U. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Membelai wajah ayu, itulah kenangan.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.